Welcome to your new podcast, Optimum Ideation with the host and Bridges. Idea interviews. The best of human ideation. Everyone has a superpower. But times are hot. Many are in the darkness of their own mind, in need of a helping hand. Helping others to become whole.
Our sponsoring brands.
Third-party people, NFT fashion, TGC fashion, Markpoint.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome, Miss Wild. How are you?
I am doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So glad to have you.
Wicked background. I love it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're trying to pimp this show out here and make something that could be a lot of fun for everybody, right?
That's great. I love it.
Well, we bring the right kind of guest in here, and we can really help out a lot of people. So
awesome.
Yeah, I really liked your backstory, and I'm hunting down the best kind of people that I can find that can, you know, people that have been strong enough to help themselves. Mm-hmm. And build something out of it, and then, you know, build something to help others, of course. So
awesome. Love it.
So yeah, so usually I just kind of get right into the questions, everybody, this is Miss Dr. Kristen Wild, and she is an entrepreneur. She has turned a winning holistic health practitioner. She has a PhD in metaphysical science with a major in quantum physics and holds a diploma in applied psychology, all the things that I enjoy. And, she is a creator of the therapy modality called awareness therapy and founder of the Modern Health Solution. So we're going to ask her some pretty deep interview questions here. But I think she'll do great. So, everybody, let's get ready. Here she is. Okay. What is your story, your resume, and how did you get to here?
Okay. Well, let's try and break that down.
Yeah. This will be the longest question, I'm sure.
Yeah. So from a personal standpoint, pretty normal upbringing, life kind of thing, you know, the twists and turns as we all have. And so I can kind of weave the story and the resume together. I was a smart cookie when I was in high school, really good at math and science. And also for some reason, always ended up being the speaker, the narrator. And like, I was a voice for others. And it was just this natural. It was just something that came to me naturally and people came to me for, and I don't know why. So, you know, at the time, none of that made any sense. And then when, you know, as we go through life, all these things start to unfold and make more sense. So I went to university, wanted to get a Bachelor of Science, become a medical doctor. I was going to be a neurosurgeon. I was going for it. And it was funny because once I hit university, I really just lost my direction. You know, I was just like out on my own for the first time and really had no idea what to do or how to live life. And so I ended up not doing as well in school as everyone had thought I would, because I was like so smart. And I dropped out and I chased a boy to a neighboring province. I'm in Canada, so neighboring state, quickly ended that relationship and then ended up becoming an industrial electrician of all things. Huh. Worked in the oil fields, me and 600 dudes, just giving her. And so it really taught me a lot about how to interact with people, you know, how to deflect things through humor and, you know, and work with different personalities. So it was a huge stepping stone in my life, but obviously not one you think you're going to take.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, what happened is my ex-husband and I bought a house in the area, and we kind of had an idea that real estate was going to do well there. And then we did really well on real estate, and I got the bug. So then I became a real estate agent, started a property management company, moved back to my hometown, and started investing in real estate. So, wow. And then from there, so then I had two kids during that. And at the time, realtors didn't take maternity leaves. I just kept going. I was, you know, in this mode of like super everything. I was going to do it all. Like, and what happened was I always counted on my body. I had always been able to get going. And after my second child, I suddenly was sick. Suddenly. And I just woke up one day and it felt like both my wrists were broken. I could barely turn a door handle. And I was like, I had no idea what was going on. And it kind of went on for a few weeks where I was just like in denial. I just had a new baby, was working, trying to hold it all together. And then other bones started feeling like they were broken, essentially. It's the only way I can really describe it. Just so painful and tender and unable to really do anything. So I went to the doctor and it turned out I had rheumatoid arthritis. And so with that, I could no longer really do my job as a real estate agent, take people in and out of houses. I was starting to limp and, you know, and I went to a rheumatologist and she thought it was probably psychosis that I had postpartum. So I didn't really get a lot of help for the illness. So I had to stop working as a real estate agent. And then I got a job at Mercedes as their financial services manager, because that's when I could sit at a desk. And so I did that for a while. And discovered over that year that I'm not cut out to work for other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to go backwards.
Yeah.
And yet I learned so much there. And we all got along well, but it was, you know, when you're used to running your own show and pivoting and making quick decisions, it was really hard when you're working with people that aren't like that. Yeah. And so I moved on. And and then I ended up in a network marketing company, something I never thought I would do. And it's not something I would do again, but I say to people, try it once. You learn so much. I learned so much about connecting with people and, you know, really talking about something you believe in. And again, I was quite physically ill at this point, like not as mobile. So it was a health product and it was helping me quite a bit. And so it was something I could really talk about. And you know what happened from there is I discovered that I was actually pretty good at speaking, which brought me back to when I was younger, when I was connecting with these people, and that, you know, I was good at putting stories together. And so it all of a sudden ignited the spark of this passion of speaking. And so again, my illness got worse at the time. I wasn't finding answers. I was doing everything I could to find answers. I think at that time I was about 100,000 in on my own money, just trying to figure out how to heal from this disease that was supposed to be incurable, but I didn't believe it. And so from there, I couldn't keep traveling. It just wasn't an option anymore. So from there, I started a zero waste supply company. And trying to like make a dent in the whole plastic situation. So it was really cool. We manufactured, produced, created all these reusable products, and then we wholesaled them to retail stores across Canada and the US. And that was just like really cool experience. And And at the time I was very sick, bedridden, but I had amazing employees and they held it all down. So all I could make was CEO level decisions. I could barely walk or move at the time. So again, it was an amazing lesson. I mean, you know, when you're living in it, it's a hell. But in retrospect, it taught me how to use my mind.
Yeah.
How to really utilize it and streamline your process. And so it was another good lesson. And then there was a point where I really hit rock bottom. So I became so sick. At this point, I was 150,000 into my own money. I was told I needed 4 joint replacements. My body, like my organs were shutting down. It was not looking good. I weighed like nothing. I looked like hell and it was not going well. And so one of the joints that was really affected was my hip. And so I couldn't stand for longer than 5 minutes. I couldn't walk for longer than 5 minutes. I couldn't lie down for longer than 5 minutes. So you can imagine what this is like in that internal mental turmoil. And there was this, what I call my come to Jesus moment, you know, like it's like where I'm walking through an airport, we're waiting in line in security, and you know, it's excruciating to go through this lineup. And by the time I get to the security officer, there's tears streaming down my face. She looks at my then husband and was like, what's going on here? And she's like, he was just explained that I had a physical disability. And she looked me in the eyes and said, listen, ma'am, we are going to have to insist that we get you a wheelchair. And it was like, ugh, it was my worst nightmare. Doctors had told me if I didn't take medication, I'd be in a wheelchair. You know what? It's like, I'd been told this and I was like, no. And so there I was, and I'm looking at my two daughters and they're scared. They're watching their mom. And I just like had this internal surrender where I just started to pray internally. And I was like, source, God, you know, whatever you want me to call you, please, please. Like, I feel like I've done everything. I've tried everything. I feel like I've lived as like, just really tried to be a good person and bring hope to other people. It's like, I give up. It's like, please, if you want me to overcome this, send me answers. And if it's my time, like, just take me. Like, I cannot do this anymore. Sometimes you get to the point where there's worse things when you're alive than facing your own death. And so in that moment, and it's not something you can really explain with words, but in that moment, I had a feeling come over me, like an energy come up through my body. And I knew in that moment, my life was never going to be the same again. And it hasn't.
Wow. Yeah. So what kind of energy do you think?
Yeah. So I do have a PhD in metaphysical science. And the reason I have it is because I've always been fascinated by spirituality, but understanding the truth of what spirituality is, what consciousness is. And so I feel that it's like, I finally stopped trying to do everything myself and allowed connection with a higher power.
Yeah. I can recall when I first started these companies a little over 4 years ago, I was writing my resignation. And as soon as I delivered that and I walked out the door, I just got overcome by this energy. And it was just like something that you could not stop. Yeah. And it was just like it was a force that I had never really felt before.
Yeah.
And so I think I know what you're talking about. Maybe totally. Like a Kundalini awakening type feeling.
Yeah, totally. That's what people call it. And also, if you would like to look at it from like a body process point of view. So we have the pineal gland in our brains. And it's actually really interesting when we have our energy surge up, our spinal fluid comes up our spine and it touches our pineal gland and it activates the crystals in our pineal gland. So it may be this spiritual experience, and it's also very much a physical experience that we have.
Yeah. I'm very well versed in it. You know, people get to where they want to go because they know where they want to go. Where do you ultimately want to go? You know, you've got your platform that you've got now. Where do you want to take it, or where do you ultimately want to go?
Yeah. So I'm very passionate about helping people discover their own personal power. The way I look at it is like, I'm like a golf caddy. I'm not the golfer. I'm not the pro golfer. I'm their caddy. So it's like, I know which club to use. I know how to use the club. I can talk to you about it. I can support you in doing it, but you're going to take the swing.
Yeah.
And so this works in pretty much overcoming any area of difficulty. It's like,
so let's say, you know, you've talked a lot about, you know, some of the things that you've overcame here, you know, and I like to equate these things to layers that we figure out, right? And so what layers did you have to reveal, you know, to become who you are now.
Yeah. And so you're exactly bang on. So I call it aspects. And so like what we do, it's like we can be masters at some aspects in our lives. It's so natural that we don't even think about it. And then a total disaster in other aspects of our life. Sure. So you're bang on. For me, it was my perception of reality. And I feel like it still is. It still is, where I'll like wake up and it's like, oh my gosh, that was an unquestioned belief that is not serving me anymore. You know, and that's constantly what it is. And that's why the modality awareness therapy came to be was really, it's from Rogers when he says awareness in and of itself is curative. And I agree to that. But then at the same time, there's another, what we're talking about, layers there where it's, we don't know what we don't know. So sometimes we have to, okay, I've addressed that I don't know this thing. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know what to do about it. And then it's being open. So once you have an awareness that there's something that needs to shift, it's being open to our environment and information coming in. And then we'll start noticing things that we didn't notice before.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good explanation. So with that being said, you know, I feel like we're always changing. What is the next layer that you need to remove?
For myself?
Yes.
Okay. So there's some things that, so I'm a master at working through illness. I'm a master at overcoming trauma. Nailed it. You know what I'm terrible at and working on it? Romantic relationships. It's like, nope, I have not mastered that one. And it's like, okay. So it's being open to information and learning how to be a healthy participant in a relationship, how to, you know, navigate the difficulties in relationships and how to know exactly when it's time to walk away and not be loyal because that's your nature.
Yeah. 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 Relationships were pretty hard for me because I like to just trust people and, you know, and then you get into something and you're trusting somebody and they're not, you know, trustworthy or it's, you know, hey, I've been burned a lot. So now, you know, it's a lot of trust, isn't it? So you have to find somebody that you can communicate with and just, you know, and just know that, hey, they're going to give you their phone, you know, because, hey, there's nothing to hide here. You know, find these trustworthy people and you have to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be an open book because if you want a solid relationship, it's about, you know, it's about, negotiation and giving up a little bit to get your bit. And it takes a lot of work.
It does. Simple. Yeah, it does. And, but the thing is, and for some people, that's not a goal of theirs. They're content living solo and having that experience. And it's funny because I'm totally at that point. I love it. But also I've seen people that are in partnership that is very interdependent, healthy. They empower each other. And it's like, I want that. Not everybody does, but I do.
It's a ton of work, but you know, it's an investment and, you know, just do your best and then, you know, speak your piece. If things aren't working the right way, it's all a negotiation and communication. So we kind of touched on this, but, you know, let's discuss some of your most challenging trials and tribulations.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm one of those people that kind of has gone through quite a bit. Like I've gone through the ringer, but I also feel that I was exactly the person for the job. You know, it's like, there's something about it that it was like, I knew I was learning something to pass on to others. And so, yeah, I've been through some tough stuff. When I was 19 years old, I had an abortion on September 11th, 2001. So, I mean, it's in your memory forever. And, you know, that really for a long time, I lived with a lot of regret and guilt around that. And I was 19, so I was really emotionally immature and didn't really realize the effect that would have on my life and my psyche. I became very depressed. And yet at the same time, it ended up being one of my greatest gifts because it moved me towards exploring spirituality and what that means, what life means.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a very, very difficult process to move through and realize what a gift of that experience was. And so that was something, I actually don't share that very often because it was so long ago, but it's like important for people to know, because often you see someone successful, happy, joyful. I'm really there in my life now. There was times that it was dark. Like, you know, and so that was one of them. And being an industrial electrician, the only female, I dealt with a lot of challenges, a lot. And yet again, it had so many gifts that I wouldn't exchange for anything. And, also I've always been very passionate about helping women and children specifically. And sometimes I work with men as well for the last 20 years, helping them escape domestic abuse and navigate the law system and, you know, regain their personal power and to be able to stand on their own. And so I've helped people rehabilitate their lives for a long time doing that. And you have to get in there with them. It's really taught me a lot, as difficult as it is to be there with someone when they're going through something so terrifying. It's something where that process of healing is so honed into my psyche now that someone can come to me with the most despair, hopeless situation. And it's like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, that's kind of the point of this show is, you know, look, we've been through a lot, so here we are and we're doing this and you can do this thing too. Mm-hmm. Just going to take some work and some new knowledge and
hopefully that's what it is.
New insights might help some other people out. You know?
Yeah. I often say to people, the only way out is through. You're here now. This is reality. So it's like, buckle in and let's go through it. It's the short-term pain, long-term gain. Life is all about that. If you take that short-term pain, the long-term consequences are beneficial.
Yeah, exactly. So when you first started on this journey in your career, what is something more trying than you had expected?
Oh my gosh. Well, this was like nothing but challenges because I had never done it before. And, you know, I hadn't ever really planned on it either. So, you know, I got well and then people started people that had seen me so, so ill. And then all of a sudden now I'm jumping around talking. It's like, how on earth is this happening? Yeah. And so I started kind of explaining it. I really had a difficult time explaining it when it first started happening. And so I started telling people, they started doing it too. Other people started getting better. And then people just started saying to me, you need to do this. Like this is like the information you have and the way that you can teach people is like, you need to be doing this in your career. And I was kind of like, yeah, I do. And so I gifted my company to my employees and started on this journey. So I went back to school and got my diploma in applied psychology to understand that brain body connection and understand how our consciousness connects to that and to the best we can. I mean, this is a big subject, but, it started getting more vocabulary around it, started working with people one-on-one, then that filled up. I became my own bottleneck because now people wanted to work with me and I was like, had this wait list. And so it was just the natural next step, create a program, be there with group, have this community of people that get each other. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. And there's other coaches in there that are really talented at what they do. And it was just like a natural thing that happened. But the bumps along the way, oh my gosh, I bled out so much money doing this and doing that and, you know, getting this and as we do.
Yeah, it's not cheap to build your companies. No. It's a lot of learning while you're doing these things.
Totally.
Carrying out your job, you got to learn something too.
Yeah.
Now, when did you become passionate about this focus?
Yeah. So, I mean, I really had no choice but to become passionate about it. It was killing me, literally. So working with people with autoimmune, and in more so even people that are in a state of despair. It's like, because I can go there with them and not lose myself now. And so it really feels like that's my purpose. That was what I came to this planet to do, is to get into those depths of despair with people, hold their hand and walk them out. And so I suppose it's many factors, but it was also one of those things is I was going to get super passionate about it, whether I liked it or not.
Yeah, I get you. Now, who would you say were some of the greatest contributors to your character?
So number one of people that I know was my grandfather, 100%. He was a patriarch. He took care of his family. He was kind-hearted. He was the president of our local community Kiwanis Club, just always there for people. You know, when he passed away, the funeral, like the church was overflowing with people because he was a person of service. Yeah. And I was very fortunate to spend a lot of time with him when I was young, and he molded my character.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My grandfather, he was, you know, class act, and he was actually an international professional painter.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was kind of raised in a single mother household, and my mm-hmm. grandparents watched me when I was younger.
Yeah.
And so I'd be sitting there watching him paint or do carvings and things. Amazing. And just, you know, that attention to detail really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Later on in life, I wound up living with them when I went to college for the first couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were both bachelors at that time. My grandma had passed away. Mm-hmm. So it was me and him, and it was the bachelor pad. and so we got to really enjoy ourselves later in life. And whenever he passed, it was crushing.
Yeah.
It was crushing.
It is. It is, because, you know, when someone that you're just, it's like you have a soul bond, right? With certain people. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's tough to say goodbye.
It took some many years to get over, and you know, finally I'm well and not having to cope, you know, no coping mechanisms and things like that. So,
Yeah. My grandfather passed away when he was quite young as well. I didn't have him for a lot of years, but the ones I did had a profound impact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you at your lowest and who are you at your best?
So, you know, that's interesting because I feel like I'm always the same person. And, you know, and it's not that you don't have bad days. Trust me, I still cry my little guts out every once in a while. Like, so, you know, when we have our lowest moments, we still have ourselves. I think the thing is sometimes we get caught up into this guilt and shame and really are hard on ourselves. And one thing that I learned through all of that is grace. When you behave in grace, you are given grace.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that fully. Mm-hmm. What's a best piece of advice for an audience that truly wants to better themselves and others in this lifetime?
The best piece. Oh my gosh. Well, there's so many things, but this is the thing, is everything comes from the inside out. So when you are determined to feel good, to behave within integrity, to enjoy your life, to move into whatever brings you joy and happiness, when that is your motivation and that's what your behaviors follow, that you will inspire everyone around you. It ripples out in ways that you won't even think. The things that people have come back to me and said later, I was not even thinking. And I've heard that with so many people too. And it's like, I'm not the only one like this. It's actually, there's a lot of people out there that have gone through it all and they say thank you for it. They're like, I'm here to be of service. And when you switch into that mentality, guess what? We're all selfish. We're all selfish. So if you're going to be selfish, it might as well positively affect another person.
Exactly. Yeah, very good. I like that. What practices or techniques make your day a success?
Okay, I will give you the easiest technique in the whole world. I love it so much. I use it all the time. And I mean, there's tons of techniques. But the simplest one, and the for me, is something you can use in any aspect and for anything, is two affirmations. But before I tell you what the affirmations are, I'll tell you why it works with the mind. And you may already have a good understanding of this. The thing is some people don't. So when we think of affirmations, we can often be like, oh, that's the law of attraction. And it's like, and it is, but there's science to it. So because when we're adults, the way that we learn new information is by repeating it over and over. Our subconscious stores information. And so it has information stored from the time you were born till now. It doesn't forget a thing. And so it's got all the stored information. And then when you consciously want to do something or are thinking something, your subconscious just pulls that information up. It's not concerned about whether it's a benefit to you or a detriment to you. It's like, here's the information that thought brought up. And right. So what we can do is program our subconscious to automatically bring up thoughts that propel us forward in a direction we want to go. Right. And so, because it's super easy to address things that we don't want. Super easy. It's like, okay, I know what I don't want for sure, which is good. Yeah. That's a good starting point. Okay. Then we go, what would I like to see? What would I like to see? And then you use your first affirmation. You do this at home. You can look yourself in the eyes in the mirror and say it, all the things. Say, what a pleasant surprise. What a pleasant surprise. Oh my God, what a pleasant surprise. You know, there's like people that you are difficult. They're usually difficult to deal with. And instead of anticipating that difficult conversation, you're imagining it in your mind. When that starts to come up, say to yourself, what a pleasant surprise. Oh my gosh, that experience was so good. What a pleasant surprise. And so when you say that to yourself over and over, you trigger a part of your brain called the reticular activating system. So at the size of your pinky, it's at the base of the brain. And that system will pull information from your environment. So if you're programming your mind for that, that system is now going, I want to find pleasant surprises. Where are the pleasant surprises? Look for the pleasant surprises. And so now all of a sudden it is pulling in information from your environment that you want to see. Sure. Then, okay, so now you're out and about, you're doing your thing, and you have a moment that sparks joy or brings you excitement. You notice yourself smiling. Say to yourself, this or better. Like, oh my gosh, I love this. This is good. This or better. This or better. And you will get to the point where it is so overwhelmingly beautiful and happy moment, you just go, this. And then you know you made it.
What a great share. That's so cool.
It works.
You might have to do it a million times.
I'll give you such a good example. So this property I'm living in right now, I'm building my business. So I'm like, I want to rent something for a while and I want something cool, you know, like really good creative environment. And so I this or better all the time. So I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm like going to go find a property. And I really admired this is a townhouse complex. It's built in the 90s. So it's 3,500 square feet, has three living rooms for no apparent reason, you know, the 90s. And so, it's on a lake. You share a dock with seven other people. It's gorgeous. And so there was one for sale, clearly out of my price range. And so, but I loved it. And so I was like, I'm going to go out and get the feeling of a place like that. And so I went to go and search for real estate, and I was like, this is going to be such a pleasant surprise. Oh my gosh, what a pleasant surprise. So I started searching real estate, and there was some that were like, okay, and went and looked at them. And then I noticed the aspects of the different ones that I looked at that I liked and was like, this or better, this or better. Well, within 3 days, suddenly the listing for this property came up. They wanted to list it short term and no pets. And by the end of the day, I negotiated a long-term lease and to include pets. And now I'm living in my dream neighborhood, in my dream townhouse, renting it. And it's worked out perfect. But it was like this. It's like when I walked through the door here and went for the tour, I was like, this, let's go. Like, so it was so fun. It's a really fun thing to do.
That's good. If you could interview three people, who would it be?
Can they be dead or alive?
Sure.
Okay, great. So number one, 100%, David Hawkins. His work is like, wow, so, like, oh my gosh. I've never met him, but he's like my teacher and I love him so much.
Right.
So the reason why he's so amazing and I would love to interview him and like, spend time with him is he owned one of the top psychiatry practices in the US for 30 years. Brilliant mind, brilliant. And through this, and this often happens through people exploring their genius and going through these, they naturally become more spiritual. And so he walked away from that, walked away from the New York penthouse, like the luxurious life, and left it all behind and went down to Sedona with a pickup truck and a bag of tools and restarted his life and became a spiritual teacher. And so the way he teaches is through the intellect. And a lot of us in Western culture, we love logic. We want to know how, what, why before we believe it. And he is so good at explaining it. So good at explaining spiritual evolution. So that would be number one. Number two would be Louise Hay. Also, she's passed away. I did meet her once in an elevator. And I was so excited because I went to a conference to see her. And I'm standing in the elevator. She stands beside me. And I'm like, I can't pretend I don't know who you are. I love you so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was the sweetest thing. She's like soaking the love in.
Yeah.
When she was in her 60s, this is why she's so inspiring. And so she was in her 60s when she started Hay House Publishing. It's still to this day one of the biggest publishers of self-health, self-development, spiritual concepts, scientific study. Like, it's so good. And she created that in her 60s. That's just nailed good. It. So that would be the second one. And then there's so many good ones. And then the third one would be Greg Braden. He's still alive.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I would love to interview that guy.
Oh, he's so, again, just so good how he, I just love it when people can combine the logic, science, the mind with spirit, with consciousness. When they bring it together, they bridge it together. That's brilliance.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. If you ever write a book or another book, what would it be about?
Yeah. So this is so funny. I've often been told you should write a book and I have no idea. I have no idea. So maybe one day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always getting told that too.
It's not a thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have time right now, but I wish I did.
Yeah. One day.
Do you have a networking event, a product, invention or service that we can promote with the audience?
Yeah. So, you know, I do quite a few different things, as I think a lot of us do, because it keeps things spicy. But I do really love our program that we created for people with autoimmune conditions. It is so transformative and just completely life-changing. And so for me, it's like, that is just my passion. It's where my heart is. It's one of those things that I will just keep going with everyone there infinitely, because it's just so amazing to watch people not only transform, but then become people that they never even imagined they could be. Like, it's just like, there's nothing like it. It never gets old.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I really got into recruitment. And, you know, it kind of sucks these past few years. Everybody's been doing the worst in their life. But, you know, when you have to do thousands of these interviews like I have, it just kind of, you know, you really want to just kind of help people as much as you can. What is the best way for the audience to support your mission and get in contact?
Yeah. So I think basically right now it's just continuing to spread the word. What's so beautiful about our program is that we get to just keep expanding. It's like, we don't do any scare tactics where it's like limited space or buy now or no, it's not like that at all. Right. It's we get to keep expanding. We get to keep bringing on more coaches. We get to just keep making things better for people. So the more people that find out about it and get referred to it, the more people get to heal. So that's the best possible thing.
Very good. Very good. Well, this kind of wraps everything up. I hate this part, but that concludes the episode. And thank you so much for coming and sharing some time with me.
Awesome. I had such a good time with you today. You were an amazing interviewer.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Wild. And we will share this episode and see if we can't get you some new audience and new traction. So
thank you.
Best wishes with everything.
Thanks.
Ciao.
Bye.
Let's see. After 40 people production.